Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Now Elijah took his mantle, that was an outer covering of sort, took his mantle, rolled it up, and he struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Joshua, it had happened with the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, etc. And now all these years later, it's happening again. Moses, his authority was symbolized by his staff. And so he parted the Red Sea. God's people released from bondage. What is this model? Elijah's mantle or his authority parting the Jordan really seems to be for the benefit of one person. Elisha. That's who follows him across. Verse 9. And so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Okay, you have followed me from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And now you have crossed over. Well done. Well done in the spiritual battle." And Elijah, functioning almost as a model of the Word of God, "You have done well. What is it that you want now? Now ask and you shall receive." What do you think he's going to ask for? The winning lottery ticket. What's it up to, by the way?
$1.5 billion.
My, oh my, oh my, oh my. "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And a lot of people think, well, he just wants more of a shwammy than Elijah has. But you have to remember to think Jewish. Right in your margin there, Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. He's not being greedy. He is asking for the right and the authority of the eldest son. The eldest son in his inheritance would get a double portion. What he's asking for is not the goody of spiritual shwammy necessarily. He's saying, "Hey, Elijah, you're obviously God's man. And when you leave, I would like to be inherited your great anointing." That's what he means by a double portion. Now watch what Elijah says. Look at verse 10. So Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing. If I were a rabbi," I'm no rabbi, "but if I were," what he is saying is, "You have asked a hard thing. Is anything too hard for God?" Answer, it's not hard in the sense it's difficult. It's not mine to give, Elisha. God gives the anointing and the authority to whoever he wills. By the way, it's not the chariot that takes Elijah to heaven. It's the whirlwind. It's the Shekinah. Well, then what's the deal with the fiery chariot? You have to think metaphorically. Chariots and horses are a signet of battle. Had Elijah fought the battle to bring evil Israel and evil Judah back together, the battle is going to continue. The chariot, as we'll see here in a minute, did not pick up Elijah. But anyway, when Elijah does go up in the whirlwind, potentially the Shekinah, what flutters down is his mantle. And in a minute, you're going to see him roll up Elijah's mantle, strike the Jordan, and it's going to part. There are people that like to look at this as, oh, so that's how you pass on one anointing from one human to the next human. This is a point of important theological understanding. Who appoints? Write in your margin, Daniel 4, verse 17. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it kingship or practically anything else. He gives it to whomever He will and sets it over the lowest man. Also write Psalm 75, verse 7. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Who is in charge of giving anointings of any stripe or flavor? Is it the human's job or is it God's job? Because if you come from some church backgrounds and they will pray for you and lay hands and they will pray along the lines of, and Lord, whatever anointing is on me, may it transfer to this person that we're praying for. And theologically speaking, humans don't designate what giftings go where. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And when confronted with this request, I want a double portion, meaning, can I then have an inheritance, think Jewish? An inheritance of what you have. Elijah says, I can't. It's not mine to give. He's going to say here in a minute, maybe pray and ask for it, then maybe God will grant it. Steve, why are you spending so much time on this one? The Bible says that we are to test all things. Paul talked about the Bereans in the book of Acts. The Bereans were pretty awesome. You know what they did? They received my teaching with gladness. But then they went home, studied the scriptures to see if these things be so. And may we at Harvest be well taught. And just because something is supernatural, and it's my personal opinion, that we're going to see supernatural things happen more and more. May 29th, 2013, Bethel Television interview with Pastor Bill Johnson, who's the pastor at Bethel Church. And he said, you know, Matthew says, quote, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And then he says, and I'm quoting him, I felt the Lord say to me, if we honor the generals from the past, these are men of faith, God would give us access to their anointing, that we would, quote, gain access to realms of anointing that these guys and gals carried. Do humans get anointing from other humans? No. Ready for our first picture? This is Dan Pietrini. This is in church near Chicago, Illinois. With the Chicago Revival Blowout, which was the name of this event, you see around him team members from the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. What is he doing? He's laying on the grave of John Alexander Dowie. This is at Lake Mound Cemetery, Zion, Illinois. The town of Zion, it's a small town, was founded by John Alexander Dowie. It's on the border between Wisconsin and Illinois. In 1899, Dowie claimed to be, quote, God's messenger. And in 1901, he claimed to be the spiritual return of the biblical prophet Elijah. Fascinating that we're studying Elijah right now. And styled himself as, quote, Elijah the Restorer, quote, the prophet Elijah, or, quote, the third Elijah. What he is doing is laying on the grave. He is convinced that something of the anointing that was on this guy, Dowie, is somehow going to transfer to him. And the hands of those young people from Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Next slide. This is Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry students on a ministry trip, quote, soaking up the glory at Maria B. Woodworth Etter's grave. Who is that lady? She's well known in the founding, really, of what would eventually become the Pentecostal movement. And while the Azusa Street revival was going on here in America, I believe she's somewhere near Indiana. And here are Bethel students hanging around the grave. Last slide. Here are second year Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry students on the grave of Evan Roberts. I don't show you that to say neener, neener, neener to that church. What I'm saying is, hey, Harvest Family Fellowship, are you watching? Do you see that in the name of glory and anointing, well-intentioned young people not taught in the Word of God? You don't get anointing from humans. It comes from the Lord our God. Who does He give it to? Whoever He wills. What was Elijah's response? That's a hard thing. This anointing, this gifting, this calling wasn't mine when God made me a steward of it. Therefore, I cannot give it to you. That's God's business. Now, out of grace, God may grant you a prayer request. And here's what He says. Continuing to the end of verse 10. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. If it's a God thing, whenever God comes and grabs me and you're with me and you see it, then it's a God thing. He will answer your prayer request for anointing. But please make no mistake, you are not inheriting anything from me. Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. That beautiful old spiritual doesn't quite have it exactly right. Verse 12. And Elijah saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Remember, chariots and horsemen are symbols of military might. Hey, the battle to turn Israel away from idolatry and sin, it's going on. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, tore them into two pieces, meaning he's mourning. He's sad to see his father in the faith. Moving on, verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen on him, struck the water, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" That's not taunting the Lord. He's basically saying, "What's this?" When he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. By God's grace, not merit, not compulsion, Elisha has a similar supernatural calling. Why? Not just to dazzle with the supernatural. To call Israel to repentance. That's why the chariots and the horses. Not for, look at all the supernatural anointing. And oftentimes when people get together and they're asking for either revival or supernatural movie, a little part of them says, because it'll be really cool for me. Please understand, God gives supernatural anointing, implements of successful battle, etc., not to go, wow, but to battle. Verse 15. Now when the sons of the prophets, who were from Jericho, saw him, they said, "Hey, the spirit of Elijah rests with Elisha." And they came to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look, now we are 50 strong men with our servants. Please let us go and search for your master. He's not here any longer. You've got the mantle, so he must have poof disappeared some other place on the surface of the earth. Let us go search for him and find your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him down upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." In other words, boys, he's moved on. I am the word of God now. But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, "All right, go ahead." Subtitled, "You obviously don't believe my word, so go see for yourself." Therefore they sent the 50. They searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, what did I tell you? Did I not say, do not go? Israel's spiritual leaders get a lesson in believing God's word. Verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elijah, please notice, remember they're near Jericho. The situation of the city is pleasant. We're having fun here. This is a good city, but there's a problem. But as my Lord sees, the water is bad and the ground is barren. This is Israel's condition. Everyone's having fun, except the water's bad. And there's no fruit. Verse 20, and he said, bring me a new bowl. Most scholars think this is a symbol. Elisha is Israel's new prophet, new vessel, if you will. And put salt. Levitically, salt was used every day in the grain offering. And it was a symbol of purity. So, okay, bring me the new bowl. Many scholars think, I'm the new prophet, the new vessel, and I want you to put some salt in it. Here's my message. Hey, Israel, you're barren and fruitless because you're in sin. You need to repent. So they brought it to him, verse 21. Then he went out into the source of the water, cast in the salt there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From here it shall be no more death or barrenness. What a picture. God's word in the form of Elijah says, seek after holiness and purity. To some degree, he's saying, I learned my lesson from Elijah at Gilgal. Is there a barrenness to your soul? Is the water impotable, potable? How do you say that? Potable or potable? Potable. Potent potables. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elijah, which he spoke. The living God, y'all, not Baal, you guys in Jericho. Have you noticed who did this thing? The living God is the only one who heals barrenness. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him, said, go up, you bald head, go up. All of the follically challenged say, oh, they're going to get theirs. They're taunting him because he needs a hair club for men. No. What they're doing, go up, you know what they're saying? They are mocking the rapture of Elijah. They'd heard about it. Seriously? Nah, it didn't happen that way. Up in a whirlwind, up in a Shekinah. He's just somewhere else and hiding out. How about you, Mr. Elisha, man? Go up. Go up, you bald head. Verse 24. So he turned around, he looked at him, and he pronounced a curse on them for calling him baldy, for mocking the word of God. Elijah had said, I'm going to be taken up, if you will. I'm going to be raptured. The spiritual in Israel, they said, okay, when? We don't know. Elisha says, I'm going to be watching. I believe that is a model for us even to this day. Have you been mocked for talking about the rapture? Come on, the rapture, come on. And he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out of the wood and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Why such a harsh pronouncement? 1 John chapter 3. Peter says that in the very last days they're going to be mocking the rapture. Where is the promise of his coming? Oh, come on. Since the fathers have gone to sleep, nothing has changed. There's nothing going to be wrong. And you know what Peter says? They do that in ignorance of the fact that God judged the whole planet once with water and he will again with fire. Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. Here's a New Testament principle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love, says the aged John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. He's basically saying, guys, you have no idea how cool that is. Therefore, the world does not know of us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be when he is revealed, right? Rapture. Aged John, probably racked with years of being exiled at Patmos and all the slings and arrows of doing the gospel, beaten. He was thrown in oil, as you know, but miraculously survived. He probably bore in his physical body all of the ill treatment that he received. Rickety old John, you see this old thing? Oh, wait till Jesus gets here. Whew. And when he is revealed, oh, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, but watch this, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope. What hope? The rapture. Everyone who has hope in the rapture purifies himself just as he is pure. What does that mean? I believe there's something very powerful when believers read their Bibles, look at the signs of the time, realize that we are in the last days for a number of reasons. It was the rapture that got a hold of this coconut in Southern California in 1980. And the thing that occurred to me was, if Jesus was going to come back at any time, I need to get busy. Lord Jesus, what a picture here in the Old Testament. It's a fun story to talk about, especially if you have a receding hairline. Don't you make fun of bald-headed guys. Look what Elisha did. But in the whole context, go up in the rapture, you bald head. Fable. Myth. Not even in the Bible, perhaps. And you are a fool to be looking forward to that. Elisha, moved by the Spirit of God, says, God, you judge them. And God said, they're going to get torn to pieces. I wonder if any one of them said, rocks fall on us and protect us from the face of these bears. So, Lord, that's a real encouragement, I think, to us here at Harvest. In the very last day, scoffers are going to come. Where is the promise of his coming? If we are looking forward to the soon and near return of you, Lord Jesus, then we're going to be living our lives differently. Purity. The salt water, as it were. And, Father, I want to thank you for the clear understanding that anointing from God does not pass from human to human. God himself is the giver of gifts. All the spirits are gifts. The Spirit latols out. He dispenses the spiritual gifts to whom he desires. And the uninformed think they have to chase around and hang around graveyards to get some of that on them. Oh Lord, I pray for that church. And I pray for those young people. Such great passion, but not a lot of proper Bible teaching. And the enemy has derailed more than one passionate young disciple who got too eager to jump into the supernatural without doing the proper homework at Gilgal, at Bethel, at Jericho, and at the Jordan. Let us be people of balance, everything being done decently and in order. We ask in Jesus' name. And all the Bible students said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.